I'm sure it'll be hard to imagine, since I'm a very large and imposing person now, but I was a really, really small child, for which I always really enjoyed playing hide-and-seek. I was able to find all the best hiding places and even fit into places that other kids couldn't fit. I was even really proud of the games that had to be canceled, and the other kids gave up because they just couldn't find me. Now that I'm older and much larger, well, not really, but that's okay. That I'm much older anyway, I want to hide, but for a different reason. I want to hide because sometimes this life is really hard, and I just want to go hide from it. And tonight, we're going to talk about just that. Hiding when this life gets really hard. We're going to talk about seeking refuge in the Lord. Finding the best hiding place. That is in Him. He is our best hiding place. We're going to see four characters experiencing four different emotions, but all with one unified response. They seek refuge in the Lord. They're going to experience sadness. They're going to experience suffering. They're going to experience being scared and being stressed. And with all of these things, these characters are going to seek refuge in the Lord. And that's what I want to encourage you this evening. This evening, I have one goal for this lesson. This one goal is I want to encourage you to daily spend at least 10 minutes in solitude seeking refuge in the Lord. With that in mind, let's get into our four characters. Our first character this evening is going to be Elijah. And Elijah was scared. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. And the text that we're going to be dealing with will be in verses 1 through 18. Elijah sought refuge in the Lord because he was scared. And by the way, all of our emotions are going to begin with an S. So, just a quick bit of signing ahead. In 1 Kings chapter 19 in verses 1 through 18, we see the story of Elijah as he is terrified for his life. Read with me in 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 1 through 4. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." He was afraid. And he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I can sympathize with Elijah here. But Elijah was scared on account of Jezebel. Remember the context of what's happening around chapter 19. In fact, turn back just a little bit to chapter 18. In chapter 18, you have one of the most awesome scenes in the entire Bible. You have Elijah facing off against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And there are hundreds of prophets of Baal and then just Elijah. And he stands there boldly, almost by himself, and they have a test. This test is that they will both prepare a sacrifice, and whichever God, either Baal or the Lord, sends fire from heaven and consumes it, he is the true God. That spurs an interesting series of events, because the prophets of Baal, as they are trying desperately to get Baal to light this fire. I mean, they cry out in all kinds of ways. They, in all idolatrous fashion, are cutting themselves. All the things that they've learned from pagan gods. And as they're doing this, Elijah douses his with water 7 times. They have to build a small moat around it just to keep all the water there. And as this test goes on, even with all the water, God sends down fire and consumes Elijah's sacrifice. And with that, Elijah in turn says, the Lord is the one and only God, and he kills all of them. Well, Jezebel was really upset because Jezebel subscribed to Baal. She was herself a Baal worshiper, and these were the same prophets that basically she hired. And so that's where we come to in chapter 19, where Jezebel sends word saying, just like you did to my prophets, I'm going to kill you before this time tomorrow. So Elijah runs. Elijah runs as fast as he can, and he goes a day into the wilderness. What he's really doing, Elijah sought refuge in the Lord by praying. The first thing that you see in the last chapter, or the last part of chapter 4, read with me the last part of chapter 4, and we're going to read all the way to verse 14. After he's hidden himself and sat down under a juniper tree, he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came down a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, but the God of hosts for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, that they may seek my life to take it away. So he said, go forth and stand on a mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Then he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets by the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And this Elijah, 3 times, prays. He first prays, submitting his life to God and just saying, please take it. He was afraid and he was weary. And in all of his fear, he didn't quite know what to do. So he prayed. And the Lord answered him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he said twice, petitioned to the Lord saying, I've worked hard. I've tried. I've done my best, and now I am at a loss because there's nothing left. Now I am the only one left, and they seek my life to take it. 3 times Elijah prays, and he hides in the wilderness to do it. And as he's hiding in the wilderness, as he's praying, the Lord is giving him a very strong answer. The Lord answered him, providing for him and encouraging him. We've already seen that the Lord was providing for him in the wilderness as God sent food by an angel so that he could be sustained in the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights, that could be a significant number in a study in and of itself. But as the Lord is sustaining him, he also then encourages him. Read with me then, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 through 18. The Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael, king of over Aram, and Jehu, son of Nimshi, and you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehola. For all of you who are in this class and always want me to have to read difficult names, here we are. So, he's anointing these people. And, let's see, where am I now? And you shall anoint his prophet in your place. And it shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." God encourages him, because as Elijah is terrified, he's terrified because he thinks he's alone, and he thinks that it's all come to an end. But the Lord encourages him and says, "You're not alone. You're not alone," and he's showing that he is with him, but also that there are 7,000 more that have not bowed to Baal, that have not kissed him. But what I want to learn from Elijah is that he was scared, and he sought refuge in the Lord. I don't know what terrifies you. I don't know what your greatest fear is. Some of the top five things in the top five list is of top fears in the country is death, public speaking, now I can see why, and spiders and heights. But we have an enemy that is far bigger than that. We have an enemy who wields death, the greatest fear in our nation. That terrifies me. And in the times where he has just beaten me over the head, it terrifies me. I don't know what else terrifies you, but when you're scared, whatever you're afraid of, seek refuge in the Lord. Let's move on to our second character. Our second character is David. And David sought refuge in the Lord because David was sad. Turn to Psalm 55. David sought refuge in the Lord when he was sad. Psalm 55, for a time, was my favorite passage for all kinds of depressing reasons. Because I myself was sad. Because I myself sympathized with David and what he was going through. But I was encouraged by what happens in Psalm 55. Read with me through verse 14. "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, 'Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. But behold, I would wander far away and lodge in the wilderness,' Selah. I would hasten to my place of refuge." Say that again. "I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and the tempest. Confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her upon her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst, destruction in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. For it is not my enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it the one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion and familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together, walked in the house of God in throng. David is sad on account of betrayal. And for all of the reasons that he is sad, what does he do? We read in this text that he is sad, he is miserable, he is pleading, wishing that he had wings like a dove, that he could just run away. That he could just run away into the wilderness. And why? But because it was his companion and his familiar friend that had arisen against him. He was betrayed. I love this passage because it speaks so strongly of Jesus, who too was betrayed, who too was sad. We'll talk about Jesus in a little bit. But for David's sake, all of the things in this passage just scream out that he was so unbearably sad, he just couldn't take it. So what does he do? David sought refuge in the Lord by praying. This second point is going to get very redundant, by the way. That they seek refuge in the Lord by praying. And that's exactly what we find David doing in Psalm 55. In the first verse it says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted." But then continuing on, read verses 16 through the end of the chapter. "As for me, I shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. For there are many who strive with me, but God will hear and will answer them. Even the one who sits enthroned from old, Selah, with whom there is no change, and who do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him, and he has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Let me read that again. "He will never allow his righteous to be shaken. But you, O God, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out half their days. But I will trust in you." This is a very prayerful passage because, for one, it's a psalm. The psalms are a collection of praises and prayers. And David is praying at this point because he's sad. And in this passage, we also find how the Lord answers him. The Lord answered by sustaining him. It was in verse 16. That he says, "As for me, I shall call upon God, and he will save me." And in verse 22, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never allow the righteous to be shaken." The Lord gives him a strong answer, and the Lord gives him a powerful encouragement that he will never leave, that he will never depart, that he will not be the friend that betrays, and that he will be there. Sadness is a pervasive emotion in our culture. And many things can make many people very weary and very distraught. But in sadness, just like David, seek refuge in the Lord. He will save you and he will sustain you. Our third character, Paul, was suffering. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just read with me verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me and to keep me from exalting myself. Paul was suffering on account of his thorn in the flesh. There are over 24 different interpretations and speculations for what this thorn in the flesh might be. I stand before you to tell you I have no idea what it is. But I do know the effect that it had. It had the effect that Paul was in anguish. That Paul was suffering. And that it humbled him. I know that's what suffering does for me. That it has me in anguish. That it has me seeking relief. There's a lot of questions revolving suffering in this world. In fact, people just have a hard time reconciling when people suffer and why people suffer. Paul was suffering because it says that it was to keep him from exalting himself. I think that suffering is a good reminder of that. That we are humble, feeble, fragile people. And he calls it a thorn too. It could be something just very, very small. But it was a thorn in his flesh, and he was suffering on account of it. And with that, Paul sought refuge in the Lord by what? By praying. Read with me verse 8. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. Simply stated, Paul prayed 3 times. Paul was frequent in his prayer. That's one thing that I want to take as a special note from Paul, is that praying doesn't have to be a one-time shot where you're swinging for the fence and it's the only, and you can only do it once. You can only do it once. No. No, Paul prays 3 times. And 3 times, God gives him an answer, and probably not the answer that Paul wants, but it is the best answer that he could receive. The Lord answered him by affirming his strength in times of suffering. Read with me the first half of verse 9. And he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness." Paul saw his suffering as a reminder that he was weak and that he needed God, for which he did pray 3 times. And God simply asserts, "I don't have to take it away because I'm greater than that." And what a wonderful reminder that is for us. What a wonderful encouragement that is for us in our times of suffering, for whatever reason they may be. Is that God is greater than that. And since God is greater than that, Paul was able to seek refuge in Him. Paul was able to hide in Him. Paul was able to pray to Him. I have one more character for you. I told you we'd talk about Jesus. Jesus sought refuge in the Lord because He was stressed. And it's a passage that we read earlier today. Turn to Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. This is a verse that Stephen read concerning the Lord's Supper this morning. And in this, we will find Jesus in great distress. We will find Him pressed from every side. Then Jesus came to them. We're going to read through 38, verse 36 to 38. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And He took with Him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and became grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." Jesus was stressed on account of his imminent death. Would you think that's a good reason to be stressed? I'd be stressed if I knew I was about to die. And Jesus, I don't think that he was even so much stressed that he was about to die. But he knew how hard it was going to be to do it. This life can promote a lot of stress. In fact, about every other infomercial you might see are things that reduce stress. And the other half of them are things that produce energy. I think that's kind of oxymoronic. But this life is stressful. And Jesus faced that same kind of stress. And greater, the greatest, on account of us. But Jesus was stressed, so what did he do? Can you guess? Jesus sought refuge in the Lord by praying. Once again, he sought refuge in the Lord by praying. If you hadn't noticed by now, I'm trying to encourage you to pray. Because it is the source of strength. It is the source of solace. And it is the source of salvation. And Jesus, in his time of stress, sought refuge in the Lord by praying. Read with me verses 39 through 46. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Then he went away a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. He left them again and went away and prayed a third time and said the same thing once more. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up and let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is here." Once again, the same lesson that we learned from Paul. Praying is constant. And Jesus sought refuge in the Lord by praying three times. And three times he pleaded that this stress would leave him. That the fear was going to leave him. That the sadness was going to leave him. And in the very next verse, what do you find except that Jesus is betrayed into the hands of sinners? That Judas arrives and they take him away to be crucified, to be beaten. Was Jesus answered? Did the Lord hear his prayer? Turn with me to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, read with me verses 7 through 10. In the days of his flesh, speaking of Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus was handed over. Jesus had to endure that suffering. He even had to endure all that stress that he was praying about. But what did it produce? What does Hebrews tell us how he was answered? It first says that he was heard on account of his piety. And second, it says that he was made perfect. He was made perfect and became to all those who believe in him salvation and eternal life. The Lord answered him by making him perfect. Our life, our crucible, may very well be a refining fire. In fact, the Bible tells us that it will be, that we will suffer many things, and that many things are going to drive us to be stressed, to be wearied, to be overwhelmed, to suffering. Yet, this promise that we find in Hebrews is that we have a hope in the things which Jesus suffered for us. But Jesus gives us an example. Once again, the example that he sought refuge in the Lord. And I'd encourage you to do the same thing. In fact, once again, this lesson is entirely about the fact that I want you to daily spend at least 10 minutes seeking refuge in the Lord. Let me tell you three quick ways how to do that. It is a three-step process. 10 minutes of refuge. Step one, two, three. Step one. Step one in your 10 minutes. Get alone. We see in Elijah. We see in David. We see in Paul. We see in Jesus. Them standing alone, one-on-one with God. And I'd encourage you that that is the best and the only way to seek refuge in Him. That we would be alone and just have some one-on-one time. Us and God. Which means that you're going to have to find a quiet place. Which means you're going to have to find a solitude. Place all by yourself. I'm fortunate and blessed that I have an apartment, a whole apartment by myself. However, even that sometimes I feel distracted and I feel caught up in the things that are in my apartment. And so there are a couple places in my apartment that when I shut the door, turn all the lights off, it is pitch black. It's in that time that I actually feel like I'm alone. One-on-one with God. I'd encourage you to do the same. Get alone. Get away from everything. Get away from everything and get close to God. Step one, get alone. Step two, get focused. When I am struggling with one thing or another, I know it bears heavy on my mind. I think about it constantly. And in the time that you bring that before the Lord, in that time that you just want to spend some time in solitude talking about it, get focused on it. I'd say that here's a helpful hint to doing that. Get a favorite verse. A favorite verse that you have completely memorized, which is applicable to your situation, to whatever you're going through. Bring that with you into your time of solitude. And block out everything else. Step two, get focused. And step three, get prayerful. I'm sure you could have guessed this by this point. Just because what did we note about all those people who sought refuge in the Lord? They prayed. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. No need to be redundant, but they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Get prayerful. Because what is the power of prayer? What is the purpose of prayer? But to hand everything over. To hand over praise to God. Because He is the one who's stronger than your situation. To hand over petitions to God. Because He's the one able, powerful to answer them. If you can do this, 10 minutes a day, I promise you, you will begin to understand what Paul talked about in the peace that passes understanding. Whether you are scared, whether you are sad, whether you are suffering, whether you are stressful, you will understand that peace in those quiet times with God. That is what I wanted to encourage you of this evening. to seek refuge in the Lord. But you know, I find one thing. That sin causes all those things. Sin will cause you to be scared. Sin will cause you to be sad. Sin will cause you to suffer. And sin will cause you to be stressed. And in all these things that sin does, if you're not seeking refuge in the Lord, if you're not seeking your salvation in the Lord, then those emotions are just going to stay with you. You're just going to continue to be scared, terrified that you might die, knowing that when you do, you've been forsaking the Lord your entire life. You will be sad because you know exactly what sin does to God, what sin does to you, and you'll feel guilty about it. You'll be stressed, but I encourage you, seek refuge in the Lord, because in that, God will give you peace, and from that, God will give you salvation. You know how to seek refuge in the Lord. You know that if you are a Christian who has been struggling for a long time, or even for a short time, with any sin at all, you can seek refuge in the Lord and the prayers that you offer. Let us help you. Let us pray with you. And if you're not a Christian, we want you to seek refuge in the Lord. We want you to be buried in Him. We want you to be completely immersed in the peace and the salvation that He gives.